You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 22. Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you. Spirit of God, we thank you. Lord, thank you for making it all possible. So make it work according to what you had in mind before time ever began. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, chapter 13, we're talking just hours, literally, before the crucifixion of Christ. And in the process, the Apostle John, the last living apostle, is going to give us the window. There's four windows, as it were. Matthew the king, and Mark the servant, and Luke, the man, and John, the God. He's going to help us. So each of them are going to look to give a window to see the events. And John is giving us that, and we share together that Apostle Peter has been told he's going to go and deny the Lord three times. And in the process, he's denied all that. And not only that, we share together, so did the rest of the 11, the rest of the 10, I should say. They all were the same page, same voice as Peter. Peter might have been a little more forceful, but they all were of the same mind. Now, and having said that, so when we come to Luke, though, we have a piece of information, as we shared last time, that helps us. The Lord had warned Peter and them that Satan was about to sift them and would sift them like a sieve, would try to shake everything out of them, anything good to get rid of it before it could get too good, and then you couldn't sift it to get rid of it. And he said that. But they didn't pay attention to that. They did, like many things as we shared, you hear what you want to hear, and you understand what you want to understand. And everything else goes by the boards. And they missed it. That's why Peter said, "What do you mean I can't follow you?" That was his quest. He wanted to follow him right then. Nothing to do with what he just said, Satan's going to sift you. So now, having said that, we want to get another piece after the Peter's denial. Our Lord said something that isn't recorded in John, but is most helpful as we go to John chapter 14. So therefore, over in Luke chapter 22, we're looking, and our Lord, just to give you the background again in looking at it, chapter 22, remember change. You have to remember now in chapter 13, this hours before his crucifixion, they all have been made aware what there was vague to them is becoming very plain, that when they crossed the Jordan earlier, Thomas said, "We're going to go and all die with him." And that reality is becoming real. So their whole world is going to come to an end. And everything they gave up, fishing, gave up family, as it were, and went and followed him for 3 1/3 years. It's all going to come to an end. But they're going to hang in there. So that you have to pick up that flavor. They don't see or understand at all. Now, so therefore, Luke comes along, and the Lord said, do you understand? Drastic things are going to happen. I'm going to actually be crucified, and you guys are going to have a problem, but be of good cheer. It's all going to come out good. They didn't see that part. They didn't even understand that part. Now, so with the change, pick up with me, Luke chapter 22. The change is necessary. And they're picking up, getting a flavor of it. Verse 26 and 27. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. So it isn't a question. You want to be great. Remember they had that 6 months earlier, and they had it again. They said it all over again. And the Lord said, listen, it isn't a question of position and greatness. Everyone serves. I serve. Therefore, they needed to understand, servants serve. I'm serving, you're going to serve the will and purpose of God as a servant, as a wonderful, wonderful love slave. Now, therefore, secondly, they were encouraged to put to the proof. They were going to be put to the proof. Verse 28, you are they which have continued with me in my temptations, testing, being put to the proof, put on trial. You have continued with me, and you're going to continue. Therefore, being put to the test, you're going to be proven. I'm going to go and finish what I am doing, and then you guys are going to be put to the proof. You're going to say, I'm going to show that you have a unique relationship to me. That's where Satan comes in and all of that, to test you. I'm going to show your unique relationship to me, and I'm going to show that. And the devil's going to come and shake and try to get you to deny, to back off, but you won't. You'll even go to terrible things, even like we shared last time with Peter. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, that's verse 28. You're with me. You're going to keep going with me. So it isn't going to disappear. It isn't going to calm down. And you're going to have a wonderful sense of being dependent upon me and not independent, etc. Now, and verse 29, and I'm going to go, and I want you to know the kingdom is an assured thing. Your future is sure. Verse 29, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So they're very much encouraged. They should be, but are they catching a servant? No. Are they catching that they're going to be put on trial and proof? No. Are they catching the fact that they have an awesome future? No, you can say all those things. It's pie in the sky, by and by, maybe. Maybe. But it isn't real to them. It had to be real. That's what was needed. And therefore we come in the process. Now, having said that, verse 31, verse 32, 33, 34, we shared that last time, they're going to go and deny. They're all going to be committed to death, to prison, whatever it would be, and they're going to hang in there. There's no hurrah. No, they're just there. And then Peter is going to deny the Lord, and so are the rest of them are going to line up in the sense, not the same as Peter. They're all going to forsake him as in a real way. Not as Peter, though, to deny him. Now, that's the movement. Now, if we were in John, we'd go to chapter 14, and the Lord doesn't answer them, be of good cheer, tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, things will be okay. He did. He went way ahead, John chapter 14. In my Father's house are many abiding places. He sent them way into the future. That's what they needed. They needed to see. Now, having said that, before he says that, he says this. Luke chapter 22, if I can, and in verse 35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? Did you lack anything? Now, remember now he's going to say, when you went forth, did you have anything missing? When you had, you didn't have a wallet with you? No wallet. Did you have your scrip, your bag for your food, a knapsack with all the different food and everything you need? Nope. Did you have shoes? Nope. Did you have extra pair of shoes? Nope. We didn't have anything. We just went as we were, right then and there. No sandwiches, nothing. Off we went. Now, and so that's our Lord. The Lord's reminding them of what? Over Luke, hold your finger here, Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, picking up, if I may, in verse 1. Verse 2, actually. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Verse 3. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves or scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide and thence depart. So they're told they're going to go on a journey. They were told not to take anything. And he's asking them, do you remember how I sent you? Chapter 10. And chapter 10, and in verse 1. Now the 12, now here's the 70. Verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed another 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself was going to come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, verse 3, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Neither carry purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And so they're going to go. Chapter 22 now again. Chapter 22, and picking up, if I may. Verse 35, he's reminding them of what they had done. And he said unto them, verse 35, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? Did you lack? Was there anything missing? You went with nothing. You had zero with you. When you went, did you lack anything? And they said, nothing. Was anything, the word lack, want of, to be without, to be deprived of, to be missing, to be deficient? Was there anything that you didn't have that you needed? You had nothing, you needed nothing, and you never needed anything. During that whole trip, you never needed a thing. You had nothing to start with. Now, in order to catch that, hold your finger here and go with me to Deuteronomy and chapter 29, just as a reminder. Moses is going to tell the children of Israel before they cross the River Jordan. He's going to tell them after 40 years in the wilderness. He's going to remind them of the 40 years. And you would recall chapter 29, picking up, please, in verse 5. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon your foot. You have not eaten bread, neither have drunk wine, or strong drink, that you may know what? That I am the Lord your God. Now, did your shoes, do you remember that Moses tells them? Nothing wore out. Your shoes, your shirt, your coat, nothing wore out for 40 years. That's pretty good. There's no washing, no laundromat. I'm impressed. They didn't get sick? Nothing. Wow. Now, what are you telling him, Lord? I sent you forth once, twice, again. You never lacked anything. I never had anything. You took nothing. But you had everything with me. Now, in the light of that. So nothing. It's a cardinal number. Think, how many? Zero. You lacked zero. And race the rim, zero. You can't see. There's nothing. Nothing to see. Nothing to talk about. There was nothing missing. No, not a thing. Therefore, they said that. We never lacked anything. Good. Are you remembering that Moses, remembering Israel, are remembering the trips I sent you on? You never lacked anything? I'm sending you forth again, but without me this time. Now hang on. Verse 36. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Now, so he's gonna, don't take your wallet, you haven't got your wallet, and your knapsack for food, and you're gonna go with that, and don't take any money, you don't need any money, no more money, and make sure you take your sword. Make sure you take your sword with you. And by the way, I'm going to emphasize the sword. I didn't emphasize the money. I didn't emphasize the knapsack and the food. I didn't lift up the shoes. You need a sword. Do you have a sword? That's who wants to know. Think of our gun laws and all of that. Do you have a sword? That's what he wants to know. And then to show it, go sell your garment. The garment, the end of verse 36, is the outer garment that a person has that is the most, it's the heavy coat, winter coat, rain coat, it's the coat. Sell that coat in order to get a sword. Sell it to get a sword. Ah! That's right. And buy a sword. Now, having said that and thinking that, keeping that in mind, or if you would, now, verse 37. For I say unto you, that this, that it is written, now you're going to buy a sword now, must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. Therefore, God said, listen, I have a wonder. God sent, here I am on planet Earth, born in Bethlehem of Judea. I'm going to go. I was born to die on Calvary's cross. In just a matter of a little handful of hours, I'm going to go out and die and be crucified. And I want you to know, for this is what has to be finished. This is what's to be accomplished. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. Hold your finger in here and go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Remind you in the great chapter on our Lord. And in Isaiah chapter 53, picking up if I can, may I go directly to verse 12, the end. Therefore, will I divide him a portion with the Messiah, the Christ. Therefore, will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered, calculated, computed, using the Luke, numbered, calculated, computed with the transgressors. The bad guys lined up, and he's one of them. They're all lined up to be a head count, and he's right there among them, the bad guys. He's a bad guy. We're going to crucify him. Wow. And there he is. Now, that. He's going to be counted among them. Verse 12, the end of the verse. Numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now, back over to Luke. The Lord Jesus Christ said, that which we just read in Isaiah has to be fulfilled. That's the purpose of my coming. I must go to the cross and die. I'm going to be reckoned, numbered among the bad guys, the crowd. And in the process of that, as I'm numbered among them, this is, and it's going to be fulfilled that I have to die. Do you understand that? It has to come to an end of what I'm doing. It has to change. I had a purpose. The purpose is to be fulfilled. Do you understand, gentlemen, apostles, the 11 of you, do you understand I'm going to die? I have to die. That's the whole purpose. I told you that, as we shared last time. I've been telling you that rather specifically for 6 months. For 6 months, I keep telling you I'm going to die on a cross. I must go to Jerusalem. Are you paying attention? No, you don't pay attention. Now, so in the light of that, and so now he's numbered. He's just like the other people. He's no different. In other words, Christ is no different than the rest of humans. He's not the Word become flesh. He isn't like them at all. No. Therefore, verse 37, as we read. Now, in the light of that, verse 38. And they said, now this is their response. Remember, the Lord's trying to make it very clear, and they're way down here in understanding. You hear the conversation, and they're way down here. He's up here. They aren't connecting. That's normal. Verse 38. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. Here are two swords. Now, there's two of them. And Peter, we know, has one of them. Peter, we know that. And someone else had another sword. So they had two swords. That's what they had. Now, so in the process, we have two swords. Verse 38. Now, now you have to understand, Satan's going to sift them. The satanic world runs the system, runs the nations of the world. Ephesians 6, among others, 12 and that, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. Terrible, terrible powers. Now, And you're going to need two swords. And we're going out. I'm going to die. And you guys are going to have to stand all by your lonesome. No more with anyone else. You're going to have to be all alone facing the world. Wow. Without me, he said. As long as I'm with you, I'm like in the wilderness, the shepherd. That's what the Lord did for 40 years. He shepherded them. Took care of them. They didn't deserve it, but they did. He did. And in the process, he took care of them. And our Lord, for 3 1/3 years, they didn't have to worry about anything. They didn't worry about fishing. They didn't worry about taxes. They didn't worry about food. They didn't worry about the enemy. They didn't worry about how many times they're trying to kill the Lord. But they never had a fear because the Lord took all of it in his own unto him. The rest of them were sort of loose. and didn't have to have any fear, frustration, much at all, because he took it. He said, I'm going, and you're going to get it. Now, just like in Acts 20, the Apostle Paul said, I'm leaving. I'm going to leave. I'll never be back. You're going to have to face, you have wolves and bad things, and you're going to have to face them all by your lonesome, because I can't protect you anymore. Paul was as an umbrella, like Noah, over the umbrellas over us. And it isn't because we're super good or anything. It's because God's grace is watching and protecting us. It isn't because we're super duper with it. It's God's doing it in his wonderful kindness. Wow. So here we are, and they say we got two swords against the enemy. Now, if you knew the enemy like God does, do you imagine how silly that is? It'd be like me going against in Korea with all of the stuff, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to call and get a special visa or whatever you get over there, and I'm going to go past the 38th parallel, whatever it is, and I'm going to go over there, and I have I literally have my Red Ryder BB gun. When Red Ryder first, you remember Red Ryder? Red Ryder, when first Red Ryder was riding. I have that original, one of those original guns when they came out. Wow. I'm going to cross the border, and I'm going to go against all of that military might. What do you think? Wouldn't you laugh? Isn't it silly? I'm going to take two swords against the enemy. Really? Now, so you'll get the flavor of it. And he said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And they said, and he said unto them, it is enough. It is enough. It is enough. Now, he was saying unto them, it's enough. That means it's coming, reaching an end, sufficient, a person's things. That means something is sufficient, reached an end. The two swords, are we going to talk any more? What else could we get? Well, we have extra pair of shoes. We could go sell our coats and get 10 more swords. No, God said, enough of the conversation, enough of it. No more, enough conversation. Enough of that. Sufficient, is it? You guys don't understand what I'm telling you and what I'm trying to help you with. So there's no sense. Don't even talk anymore, gentlemen. Remember, all 12 of them, all 11 of them said these things, as it were. And therefore he said, now it's enough. It's enough. It's sufficient. Enough of this. Did you ever hear that? Enough of this. No more. You don't understand about the swords. You don't understand about the swords. You're going to need the swords because there's bad guys and crooks and all kinds of people that you're going to have to be protected. But you aren't going to go against the enemy. You aren't going to go. Our Lord will say, not too far from now, he's going to say to Pontius Pilate, if my kingdom were of this world, they would have swords and they would go fight. But my kingdom is not of this world, and you don't need to fight that way. But you do need to fight. Understandable. You're going to have to work, food, clothing, shoes, bad guys are people. You gotta be on your toes. You got to do that. And he honored that. He said, you got to do it. I'm not protecting, I'm not stopping all the bad guys in the world. How come 27 people can get shot over here? Someone else gets over here? God, why don't you stop them? I never said I'd stop that. I'm trying to tell you what you need to do as a believer they needed to understand that they need to go and pay attention to the environment around them, which was evil and wicked, and they needed to know it so that they protect themselves. You don't go with the bad guy. The bad guys are ready to jump you. Then don't go there. Stay away from that area. Wow. Now, therefore, now remember, they have to change. They have to understand they're going to be just like you are. It's easy. There you are, and you stand out there in the street, you're all by your lonesome. Go to work, you're all by your lonesome. Wherever you go, you have to have everything. If the snow's falling and you're outside, you are going to get hit with the snow. You're going to get hit with whatever is around you. That's the world you live in. You are going to face the real world. I leave you in the world, but not of it. So don't, God, why did that come? Why did that happen? I told you it's there. You're in it. When you're in the cold mine, don't you get all cold dust over you? Absolutely. And what do you need to do in the coal mine? You need to get washing off. 1 John 1:7, we walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ is doing what? Cleansing us. Do you understand? It's the real world you live in. You got to understand that. Don't. It isn't going to go away. It isn't going away. In fact, it's getting worse. Wow. So therefore, in the light of that, over to Joshua, Joshua chapter 5. And I just want to remind you, so you get understand. When Israel was in the wilderness, what did they need? They didn't need anything. God gave water, food, health, wealth. God gave it. When they crossed the Jordan, the man is gone, the protection's gone. Now you guys go out and do battle. You're in the real world now. I want you to show life in the midst of the real world. Not make-believe. Now, therefore, our Lord, you introduced Joshua and the people, as you know. I'll read verse 13 is enough. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And Jesus said, the Lord said, pre-incarnate Christ, he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Now, how did you introduce? A sword. Not in the sheath. The sword's out. Joshua, you saw the pre-incarnate Christ with a sword up here. And what do you know as you read? Chapter 10, 28, 29, 30, and all. And they had their swords. And they beat enemy after enemy after enemy with their swords. That was the real thing. How are you going to possess the land unless you understand you have a right to go for it and have it? So you have to have something going. You can't go. It isn't going to be given to you in that sense. You're going to have to go and maintain it and fight for it. Now, that's what you're fighting for just being spiritual, just being with God. You've got to fight your old nature. Your old nature is fighting you. Now, in the light of that, back over if you would, in the light of that, and remember we left it too quickly, but in Israel was to what? They were to enjoy. They were to enjoy the land that they took by with sword. They were to enjoy the land and exercise what they were to do. And they were to be strong and of good courage. We didn't take that. and they were to, and don't be afraid. Remember, we just did that the other day. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't be crippled. Don't be fall apart. Don't do that. You're going to be put to the proof. Let's see if you can fight. Let's see if you can win. I've told you, I'm with you. I'm with you all the way. My sword is drawn, said God. Is your sword drawn? Well, do you have a sword? Buy one. Have a sword. I have mine. You have yours. I'll fight for you. Now, so hang on to that. Principalities and powers and all of those things. Our weapons are not carnal. Now, so here we are, and they're going to go and take on an assignment back in Joshua. In the disciples in the upper room, are going to go and take on a wonderful assignment in the birth, Acts 2, of the church and all of that. And they're going to do so. And they're going to do so with power and wonderful, wonderful power to do so. Now, that's what they're going to do. And God said, I want you to understand that. You're up against awesome odds and obstacles and opponents. You aren't going to beat them in and of yourself. You're going to be able to do some things with a sword and everything. But the big, real big battle requires God, the weapon. I have to help you with it. But my sword's drawn. And I leave you, John 17. You're in the world. And what did you pray, Lord, in your perfect humanity to the Father? Protect them from the evil one who's out to get them. That's why you need a sword. He's out to get you, sift you, to get you to back off, back away. Forget it all. None of it's true. It can't be real. It is real. That's the trouble. That's why he's so busy doing what he does. Now, in the light of that, so they needed to understand Israel will be a nation bearing witness to all nations. What are we doing? We are whosoever's that believe, bearing witness to whosoever's that don't believe and that maybe do believe. Now, so therefore, God, you're leaving us in the world. I am. Over to Romans chapter 8. And you would recall Romans chapter 8, picking up, please, verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So we're going to be sheep. You're a lamb before the shearers. They know, like I did, I was out there, a lamb, and they crucified me. I was a lamb. But I was the Lord. Now, you're going to go out there as sheep, and they're going to think they can walk all over you and cripple you and get rid of you. But on the contrary, you're more than a conqueror. Don't look like a coward. Look like a warrior. Be a warrior. Play the game. Isn't that what you want? You got all these different sport things going on. Isn't that what they have to have when they go out in the field? The field or the court? Isn't that what you got to have? You can't go out and say, oh, hum. Man, you can't. The enemy isn't going to be oh, hum. They're going to win. You got to have some oomph to you. Oomph. Wow. And I'm going to use an illustration. I don't often get to see it, but I saw the coach of a Boston football team. I won't even mention the team up there in Boston. And he was interviewed about the game coming up. And I was interested in into what he said. He said, listen, every game is different. And any time, any one of those teams can win. Anything can happen and make it happen. All we can do is try to prepare the best we can. And think it through best we can. And that's all we can do. and then go play the game to see if we can win. No pride, no big deal. Just a nice, we're just going to do, because the other guys are good guys. Everyone's a good guy. Everyone could win at any time. We've got to go out and fight. We can't go out on the field and be defeated. We've got to go out as winners to play the game. That's what's needed. Wow. Wow. That's good. That's good. Good attitude. Good attitude. Right attitude. Wow. Now, so having said that, so we're conquerors, and we got to go play the game. But we're sheep for the slaughter. Uh-huh. That's why you got a sword. That's why you got to have that courage. That's why you got to be strong because of that. Now, over in closing, if you would. Now, remember now, you're warned to be on guard, and you're going to do the normal things of life. You aren't going to have battles with everything going on. The normal way of ordinary living is going to be, you're going to be good stewards, and God's going to protect you, and you're going to understand you're protected because you are standing there understanding you need to be protected, and you are putting on the whole armor of God to be able to go against the deceitful craftiness of the devil. So you aren't sitting there passively in a rocking chair. You have the right mentality, the right approach, and God will honor it. You can't be sit there like a stoop. Nothing. No. No, you walk all over them. No, you got to have a little bit going for you. Go buy, sell your coat and get two swords. Get a sword. That's what you want to go. Yes, I do. Therefore, over if you would to Corinthians. And in Corinthians, if I may. Second Corinthians, if I can. And in chapter 3, we'll do it. No, I'll even pick up a little bit. Chapter 2, you know it. Remember our little word enough that we looked at? Enough. Sufficient. It's enough. You don't need any more. Here's our word. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. To the one we are the savor, fragrance of death unto death. To the other the savor, the fragrance of life unto life. To believers, to people that are looking for hope, they have it. For people that don't care, they don't get it. Who is sufficient? There's your word. Who is able? Who is capable? Who is able to do? Who has enough for such things? To be such a testimony? Over if you would, verse 5, chapter 3. Not that we are sufficient or have enough of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency, enough, our capability, our ability is of God. We have enough of God. We don't have enough. Swords aren't enough. We have God. He's enough. He's sufficient. Verse 6. Who also hath made us able, the word able, sufficient, able, capable, and able. Who has made us able, sufficient, ministers, servants, like the word deacon, waiting on tables. Who has made us servants of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit? For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. It's all about living, all about a new way of living, a new kind of life, to represent our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1. And if I may, picking up Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, fit, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. God, you've gone and rescued us, translated us, transplanted us into the kingdom of your dear Son. God, so here we are looking to you, and the God, and you are sufficient. You have done something wonderful for us in transplanting us into the kingdom of your dear Son. Now, God, here we are looking to you. We're going to trust you. Now, then, therefore, we have the little statements. Are you able? Are you able? Right then they aren't, but they will be. They will be when the heart gets right with God in Acts chapter 2 after his resurrection. Now, are you able? No. Is Christ in you able? Looking at yourself, are you able? All odds, obstacles, opponents. Are you able? Well, no, because bad guys and all kinds of things happen, weather, snow, famine, disease, bugs, germs. No, I'm not able. Is Christ in you able? Are you able in Christ? Christ is able. Are you able in Christ Jesus? Aren't you able? He's able. And you're supposed to be a new creature, what? In Christ Jesus. You're supposed to be looking to him. Therefore, between, for this I have Jesus, for this he has me. His sword, my sword. My heart, his heart. My life, his life. His life is my life. Wow. That's pretty good. Yep. Now, guys, you're going to go out and deny me. But I want you to know, I clued you in. I told you to get ready for what's ahead. It isn't a picnic. You're not going at a little party. When you come to know the Lord, that's why people don't get saved, in part, used to be. Right now is so dead, it doesn't matter, almost. So dead to everything. It was so overwhelmed with everything that we blocked out that which we should have because everything rolls in upon us. And we're sort of dumber than when we used to be, as far as reality goes. Well, God, here we are. So, God, are you able? Absolutely. So we're going to look to you. That's what we're going to do. We're going to learn. I get saved, God, and I got a heart that's what it is, old nature, but God, you've saved me from that. You've saved me from the prince of this world, and you've gone and taken my life and made me a new creature in Christ. So, God, you're my Savior and Lord. I'll honor you. Thank you very much. Now, as we shared in 6 o'clock, the historical, wonderful reality of Jesus Christ and the benefits are only made possible, our only possibility of them working is because God the Holy Spirit, in whose presence we are, wants it to happen. He doesn't want us to jump all over the place and fall down. He wants our heart to be filled with his wonderful, wonderful life, which is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you received eternal life, you'll receive the uncreated life of God. That's what you did. In the person of Jesus Christ. You can't beat it. And that's what he wants. Wow. A little bit. God, thank you for the word and work, and thank you for everything, God, we try. It's God, you make it. We just seem to miss more than we should. We miss all too much. And it doesn't connect. So you got to help us. Thank you for your patience long before being angry. Thank you for caring. And in our unbelief and blindness, God, thank you for being there to help wait and provoke, and may our heart awaken to your wonderful word and work. Spirit of God, we need to look to you in the trial, the test, the things we go through, and we're able to do them, and we're able to do them, and not sitting down passively, but actively, as it were, with a sword. We're going to go forward and be defensive and offensive. God, we're going to claim your will every place that, as Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given you. God, we want your will for our life, inch by inch, day by day, week by week, even so come. So looking to you with thanksgiving, Spirit of God, deal with the heart of the people, deal with the heart of the world. May many come to know you as their Lord and Savior in these very stupendous days, and will thank you most wonderfully. In Christ's name, amen.